Father Yahweh, we come before you again on this day, before the high day, as we are going to look into baptism and consider that issue. We ask, Father, that you would open the heart of all those who are hearing not only this message directly, but even the CD later, or if it's on the website, that they hear this, that they would understand that Yahweh is calling a people for his own possession. He's looking for a holy people, a people who are sick and tired of this world and the sin that so easily besets each one of us. We ask, Father, that you would give the cleansing that we seek so that your volunteers, those who are giving themselves to you, would be accepted and be able to enter into your true kingdom, the kingdom of Yahweh, of which this is a type. Help us, Father, to always make the right decision, to keep your covenant and to do your will, to follow your servant, Yahshua the Messiah, our high priest, who gave his life as the Lamb of Yahweh. Help us, Father, to be faithful and to overcome all of the attacks of the evil one, that we might recognize him many miles in the distance when he's coming, and that we might resist him, that he would flee far from us. See, we are in the resistance business, Father. We're resisting evil because evil is trying to capture it. And we know, Father, that if we keep your covenant, your commandment, that we will overcome each and every attack. Help us, Father, as we armor ourselves with the armor, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness. Help us, Father, to put on that helmet of salvation as we seek to do your will each and every opportunity we can. And that's why we're here at your Feast of Tabernacles, to give honor and glory and praise to you, Father, because we've chosen you over the evil one. We love you, Father. And we thank you for giving us your son, Yahshua the Messiah, who died. He overcame the world and Satan the devil. And he has the victory over the devil and over this world. And he's given us that same victory. All we have to do is be faithful and follow his footsteps. We hear, we understand, and we know his voice. And truly we ask, Father, that you would bless your people this day. In Yahshua's holy name we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you'll turn to Acts chapter 2 for our opening scripture, and we'll start in verse 14. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and spoke forth to them, saying, you men of Judea, and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known to you, and give ear to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. It was 9 o'clock in the morning. He says, but this is that which has been spoken through the prophet Joel, and it shall be in the last days, says Yahweh. I will pour forth my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yes, and on my servants and on my handmaidens, in those days will I pour forth my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now, we see a lot of people around today prophesying, claiming to be Yahweh's servants, Yahweh's people. But they're divided. They're going in different directions. They're split. The key that unites all of us together is the blood of Yahshua the Messiah, his sacrifice. Okay? Now, if we're walking in truth and we are sharing that baptism, the baptism of fire from Yahshua the Messiah, we're going to see things the right way because Yahweh is providing unity of the faith based on the Holy Spirit. He says that his Spirit, which he will send, which he did on the day of Pentecost here in Acts chapter 2, will unite and teach them and bring them into all truth. So we shouldn't have separate doctrine. All of our doctrine should be right here, right down the line. And see, people say, well, it's a matter of interpretation. No, it's not a matter of interpretation. It's a matter of the Holy Spirit. He gives the Spirit to them that obey. So you have to obey what's here to have Yahweh's Holy Spirit. People have come, and a lot of people will come and get baptized because they know they need that, and then they go on because they had a purpose in their heart that they wanted to do their own thing in the beginning. Does it mean they're of Yahweh? Absolutely not. Because they lose that Holy Spirit once they walk away from Yahweh's word. One of my own family members was with us, got baptized, said all the right things. He's going to do this, he's going to do that. He's not here with us today. He chose to do his own thing. And see, he'll be judged accordingly. You understand? A lot of people want Yahweh's Holy Spirit because they know it comes from the laying on of hands by the elders. Okay? Yet, they want to get this, they want to get baptized, and still want to do their own thing. The two don't go together. You submit when you get that fiery baptism, when you enter into that walk with Yahweh, you submit to his Holy Spirit and to the things that he wants you to do. You can't be contrary and still say that you're walking in the Spirit because the two don't go together. If you're not walking in the truth, if you're not keeping the commandments, he says three times in a year shall all my people come together, right? And people, oh, no, I can't do that because I'm not feeling it. I need to be somewhere else. Where he chooses the place of man. All right? Now, there are a lot of people all over the world saying, well, he's choosing the place of man hither and yon, here and there, because this is what we're going to do. This is where we're going to meet. See, keep your finger here in Acts chapter 2 and go over to Ephesians 4. Okay. Ephesians 4. In Ephesians 4, we'll start in verse, we'll start in verse 1. It says, I therefore, the prisoner in Yahweh, beseech you that you walk worthily of the calling with which you were called. Now, walking worthily means that you are doing this according to his calling. See, if you do it outside of his calling, it's not worthy, because you have to be worth the one that calls you. You understand? That's why we say many are called, few are chosen. See, a lot of people say, well, you know, Yahweh called me, and I'm doing this work, but then they're out there doing some things that are contrary. They're violating the Sabbath. They're violating the feast days, clean food laws, or whatever. Okay? They won't accept plain correction from the Scriptures. So they're not walking worthily of that calling. Verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. And that's the key. This is what Yahshua was looking for when he returned. Love of the brethren. Now, if you love me, he said, keep my commandments. Now, the command, the major command, is to love one another. Now, if we're doing what Yahweh commands us to do in this instance, especially as shepherds, we're baptizing people in Yahshua's name. Verse 3, giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So there's unity there. Has to be unity among the brethren. And you can look at organization after organization that is using Yahshua's name and Yahweh's name. And there's some out there, like I said, with many different variations. Okay? Like the Jews won't use Yahshua, they'll use Yeshua, the ones that have converted. You know, they still have that deep in their psyche that they can't pronounce that name. You understand? And Yahweh has no problem with you pronouncing his name. He wants you to do it. How can you give him praise and glory if you don't use his name? He says there is one body, not a million, not a thousand, one body and one spirit. The Holy Spirit is not divided. Even as you were called, also called in one hope of your calling, one master, Yahshua the Messiah, one faith, and one baptism. There's not all these different baptisms. I'm baptizing you in this name. It's baptism in the name of Yahshua the Messiah. And one El and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us was the grace given according to the measure of the gift of the Messiah. Once you've received that baptism, there's a gift. The Holy Spirit is then given, imparted to you by the laying on of hands. Now, again, these people that have gone out from us, I used an example earlier, talking about my cousin. He has a following. He has some people. Okay? Now, maybe he gets ordained by someone else out there. He's been baptized in Yahshua's name now. How can he lay hands on somebody if he is not in truth? You understand? See, people go awry all the time and they believe that they still have the Spirit. But that spirit is evident in how you live your life because of the love one for another. That means you can't hold grudges. You can't be claiming to be Yahweh's servant and then violating the covenant over here on this side, thinking that people don't see. Yahweh sees everything. Okay? Now, when we come before Yahweh because he commands us to do so, we left an organization because of idolatry. You understand? They weren't serving Yahweh the way they're supposed to serve Yahweh. They were serving man. And there are many of them out there like that. When I was talking to the pastor when I was in Columbus, and we were talking about our former affiliation, and he said, well, we left, you know, they changed their name. They're no longer... that these people were no longer Worldwide CMG. But they said, we had people worshiping the man. So therefore, we couldn't remain. And now they call themselves something different. It's like four different congregations. I don't know. I believe that the world line is still in effect. It's out there. I don't know. But I know these people, you know, said, we keep the covenant. We doing this. We keep the feast. And I said, but are you using the name? Do you have the name? Not just the Father, the Son. They were still using JC. You understand? There's only one name on the heaven by which men shall be saved. And that name is Yahshua the Messiah. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There are no J's in Hebrew. Never was, never will be. So we know this. And this is what we teach. Now, when people, oh, well, our doctrine is pretty much the same. The only difference is that we believe that, you know, once you're married, you can't get a divorce. Yahshua said in Matthew that you can divorce it for adultery, fornication. If your mate goes out and commits that, you can be released from that marriage and remarry if you want. You can stay by yourself or you can remarry. That's what it says in the Word. I'm not going to change the Word or say, well, you know what? You can't get married because the other scripture says, you know, it's for life. And it is for life. But if that person, your spouse, breaks that bond of fidelity, and I'll read it so we don't have any controversy. The scripture says in Matthew 19, verse 6. Well, he starts in let's start in 3. And there came to him a Pharisee, and what came right after that? What are they doing? They're trying him. Okay? They're trying him. And saying, is it lawful for a man to put away a wife, his wife, for every cause? And he answered and said, have you not read that he who made them from the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall adhere to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, bizarre cause, so that they are no more two but one flesh. What therefore Yahweh has joined together, let no man put asunder. They then say to him, why then did Moses command to give a bill of divorce, not a get, and to put her away? And he says to them, Moses, for the hardness of heart, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it has not been so. And I say to you that whoever shall put away his wife, except for fornication. See, there's one exception. And it's here, except for porneia. So that could be adultery or fornication. It's still the same thing, okay, based on the circumstances. And shall marry another commits adultery. He that marries her when she is put away commits adultery. The disciples say to him, the case of the man is so with his wife, it is not expedient to marry. In other words, this is a problem. No, it's not a problem. You're supposed to love the woman until you die. But he said to them, not all men can receive this same, but they to whom it is given. For there are eunuchs that were born from their mother's womb, and there are eunuchs that were made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs that made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. See, not everybody can receive it. Not everybody can walk that walk. And this is what Paul was saying. If you can do it, it's better that you do it and not be divided. Because when you have a wife, you're going to be divided. See? Because you care for the wife. And the same thing with those that have husbands. You care for the husband. Back over in Acts chapter 2. He says in verse 18, yes, on my servants and on my handmaids, in those days will I pour forth my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens and signs on the earth, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. We've seen that twice. We're going to see it twice more next year. First high day of Feast of Unleavened Bread and the first high day of the Feast of Tabernacles. So we're going to watch and we're going to make sure. Because after this time, it says before the day of Yahweh comes. These things are going to happen before the day of Yahweh comes. That great and notable day. And it shall be that whoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be saved. Now he says, you men of Israel, hear these words. Joshua of Nazareth, a man approved of Elohim to you by mighty works and wonders and signs which Elohim did by him in the middle of you, even as you yourselves know. And we can go back through the scriptures and see all of these different signs that happened in the life of Joshua. He says in verse 23, him being delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of Elohim, you by the hand of lawless men did impale and kill, whom Yahweh raised up, having loosed the pangs of death, because it was not possible that he should be held of it. Death couldn't hold him. For David says, concerning him, I beheld Yahweh always before my face. For he is on my right hand that I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh also shall tabernacle in hope. It's going to tabernacle in hope. And here we are at the Feast of Tabernacles. See, we have the hope of Yahweh because we believe in his Son, Yahshua the Messiah. Therefore, we are following and moving in that direction, being baptized, entering to his death, which is the watery grave, verse 27. It says, because you will not leave my soul to the grave. See, baptism is an outward sign of inward cleansing. Now, when you go in that water as the old man, it's like going into your grave. That's what it's about, death. But you come back up, a spiritual person. See, because you're going to have that down payment of the Holy Spirit given to you by the hands of the elders. Neither will you give your Holy One to see corruption. And see, those who have received that baptism will not see that corruption because we're going to see that in a future verse that it talks about the corruption becoming incorruption. See, because those who have the Spirit will be quickened. When the call comes, come up here. They're going to come up. They'll rise from the grave because they will have put on incorruption, which is Yahweh's way. You made known to me the ways of life. And see, baptism is going to, it's the gateway to the way of life, to eternal life through Yahshua the Messiah, because you are showing your confession that you believe in Yahshua and his sacrifice and his death. He died for each one of us. But you got to be willing to get rid of that old man. You got to be willing to get rid of that corruption. You have to be willing to get rid of the sin. See? And be cleansed through that water of baptism. You shall make me full of gladness with your counsel. Brethren, I may say to you freely of the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet and knowing that Yahweh has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins he would set one upon his throne. He foreseen the spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, and neither was he left to the grave, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Yahshua did Yahweh raise up, of which we are all witnesses, being therefore by the right hand of Yahweh exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. He has poured forth this which you see and hear. For David ascended not into heaven, but he says, Yahweh to my sovereign, sit you at my right hand. Psalm 110:1. Till I make your enemies the footstool of your feet. Let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that Yahweh has made him both the king and Messiah, this Yahshua whom you unveiled. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles' brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yahshua, the Messiah, to the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift, brethren. It's not something that's owed to you. It's a gift. When Simon Magus, who was a believer, he was converted, and he saw, he had been baptized, and he saw them coming, laying hands on the people, and them receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he wanted to buy it. He wanted to buy it. His heart was corrupt. He had been baptized. You understand? But he went in the wrong direction. His heart wasn't right. Your heart has to be right with Yahweh. Verse 39, for to you is the promise unto your children and to all that are far off, even as many as Yahweh our Elohim shall call to him. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Then they then that received his word were baptized, and were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and partnership in the breaking bread and the prayers. See, there is a program. There's something that Yahweh wants us to do. And they continued in what Yahweh wanted them to do. Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then in verse 1? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. We who died to sin, how shall we any longer live in it? We have to make the changes in our lives. You can't, when sin is brought to your attention, you got to get rid of it. You can't continue to walk in. Or are you ignorant that we, that all we who were baptized into the Messiah Yahshua were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him through baptism in the death, that like as the Messiah was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. We have to walk as Yahshua walked. He did no sin. After we come up from that water, we can't do sin either. But if we do, if some for some reason we fall, we know we have an advocate. We have him that we can go to because he's going to intercede between us and Yahweh and say, I got this. See? They're covered by my blood. And too often people, and this is what we can't do, we can't continue in sin once we know this, and that's treading his foot. You're treading his blood underfoot if you keep going back to those same sins. That's the difference. A repentant sinner is going to leave them behind. Those who aren't repentant, you know, like I said, Simon Magus, some of the others that They get that baptism, so they can get the Holy Spirit. But even if the Holy Spirit is given to you and you start to go back to sin, it will not reside with you. The two cannot stay together. They can't coincide. That's why David wrote Psalm 51, which we're going to check out in a minute. He wrote Psalm 51 because he didn't want his Holy Spirit taken from him. He knew he had sinned with Bathsheba and killing Uriah the Hittite. And he knew he should have died. But Nathan told him, your sin has been forgiven. See, Yahweh truly loved David, just like he loves each one of us. And Yahshua died so that we might live. Or we would have died for our sins as well. Now it says here in verse 5, for if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was with him, that the body of sin might be done away, that so we should no longer be in bondage to sin. For he that has died is justified from sin. But if we die with the Messiah, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that the Messiah, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once. It's not something you got to do over and over again. When they were sacrificing those goats and bulls, they had to do it over and over again. Yahshua's blood cleanses once and for all. Once and for all. And it's not like, you know, you got Christians out there believing that, you know, I'm saved. You know, I can sin and I'm still saved. I don't have to worry. Once saved, always saved. But guess what? You can lose that salvation. What does Ezekiel 33 say? If you're walking in righteousness and decide to turn to sin, all that righteousness is going to be forgotten. Whereas though if you were a sinner and you turn to righteousness, all that past sin that you've done, it's washed away. It's cleansed. And we don't worry about that past. See, he's living in the here and now. And Yahweh will forgive your sins and cleanse you. Verse 7. Okay, let me finish this. That the body of sin might be done away, that so we should no longer be in bondage to sin. And we're no longer in bondage to sin because of Yahshua's sacrifice. Verse 7, for he that has died is justified from sin. But if we died with the Messiah, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that the Messiah, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once. But the life that he lives to Yahweh. Also reckon to yourself to be dead to sin, but alive in the Messiah Yahshua. See, we're alive in Yahshua because of his sacrifice. When we have partaken in that baptism, we've received that gift of the Holy Spirit. Our job from that point on is to maintain. See? Not to go back. And First Corinthians, Chapter 6, and verse 17. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, but he that is joined to Yahweh is one spirit. And this is why when we go through the Day of Atonement, we're at one with Yahweh. When we are come before Him correct and we're cleansed, we don't have the sin that so easily besets us when we ask for forgiveness. And this is what we have to do, and we can't go back to it. It says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he that commits fornication sins against his own body. Well, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? And see, that was given to us at baptism, which is in you, which you have from Yahweh. And you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Glorify Yahweh, therefore, in your body. How do we glorify Yahweh? Now, again, see, we got to praise Him. He inhabits the praises of Israel. Back over in Romans 6, verse 12, it says, do not allow sin to reign in your mortal body, in your carnal body, in your physical body, that you should obey the lust of it. He told Cain, sin crouches at the door. It's waiting for you. Now, Cain had the option to turn away from it or to go to it. And he chose to go to it. You have to make that decision when it comes to baptism. Are you going to turn away from sin, or are you going to go to it and let it control you? Verse 13, neither present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to Yahweh as alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to Yahweh. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law or the penalty of it, but under grace. And Yahweh showed grace to Cain, even after he committed the act. He didn't kill him right away. He marked him. See, we have to understand that Yahweh is always going to give us a way of escape when sin is present. He gives you a way of escape, just like He gave Cain. He had a door. All he had to do was go through. But He allowed that corruption. He allowed Satan, the devil, and sin to control him to the extent that he was so angry at his brother who did nothing to him, he was truly angry at Yahweh. You understand? He wasn't angry at Abel. Abel was just there. So he took it out on Abel and took his life. Just like David took the life of Uriah the Hittite. And he did that because he had already taken his wife. You understand? Even when Uriah came back, this is the door for Uriah. The door came back. I mean, Uriah came back from the war because David had called him back. And he says, go home, enjoy. He got him drunk. Go home, enjoy. You know, but Uriah was so diligent. His mind was back on the war, back on the front lines, back fighting for Yahweh. He wouldn't go sleep with his wife to make it look like it was his child, which David was trying to cover up. You understand? And that was his door, but he didn't take it. He went back to the service. So then David called Joab and said, put him on the front lines and then back away. And he used the army of the enemy to kill the man that became his enemy because Uriah did nothing to him. Uriah the Hittite was a righteous man. Yet David was in sin, and he was blind. And he did what he had to do to figure things out. And guess what? Did it work out? No, it didn't. We have to allow Yahweh's Holy Spirit to have control of us. And to do that, you have to have it, which means you've got to be baptized. And those who have it, those who are baptized, have to be walking in truth. Because if you're not walking in truth, that Holy Spirit will be taken from you. And we'll see that, like I said, in a minute. Now, verse 15, Romans 6, it says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the penalty of the law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves as servants to obedience, his servants you are, whom you obey, whether of sin to death or of obedience to righteousness? But thanks be to Elohim that whereas you were servants of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were delivered. And being made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. See, once you receive that baptism, you're free from sin. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You can't go back. You've made your choice. You've chosen Yahweh. Drop down to verse 20. It says, for when you were servants of sin, you were free in regards of righteousness. You didn't have to pursue that because you were free from it. You didn't know. You were out there doing your thing. You were in sin. What fruit did you have at that time in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and having become servants to Yahweh. Now see, when you become servants of Yahweh, that's when things truly change. Because now you've been branded one of his people. Which means you can't walk like you did in your former life. You can't do the things you did in your former life. See? The power of the Holy Spirit can make you break any addiction. Okay? When people choose, and I said that before, I know the number one rehab for drug addicts and the most successful in this country is rehab. Because they replace those addictions with spiritual. I'm not as far as that, goes, but they take what they call, you know, who they believe in, and they go wholeheartedly into it. And a lot of people actually make the change. Now, Yahweh can bring them further, bring them into more truth. But at the same time, they take the world and they look at it, hey, before and after. I'm a different person because I'm doing this. But, you know, I think their success rate, and I don't know if it was done independently, but I think their success rate was like 57% to 67%, which, you know, for a drug, alcohol, addiction center is very high. See, because most people that I know that have been afflicted go back, and they go back, and they go back, you know. And I'm talking about 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times, you know. And some people end up in jail, and they don't really, a lot of them don't have good treatment programs, but the reason they're not in it, and they might be clean for 20 years because they've been in jail for 20 years. And they get out and they go right back to it. See, so you have to make that determination, and the Holy Spirit is one of the best. It is the best when it comes to that because you then are aligned with Yahweh. And so you want to please him, and you're not pleasing yourself anymore. And that's what happens when we're in our carnal state, when we're in the world, we're pleasing ourselves, see? And you'll find that those who have the Holy Spirit will make that change. They're going to do whatever they can to please Yahweh and overcome carnal nature because the Spirit that they received at baptism is strong enough, even the small amount. What he says, if you have faith as a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed, you can move mountains. But if you have the Holy Spirit, that down payment, the smallest amount can defeat Satan. See? It says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. The problem is people don't want to resist him. See, because they like his party train. They like what he's doing. It gives him pleasure. But are we going to choose the pleasure of this world over the kingdom of Yahweh? We're here because the kingdom of Yahweh is our goal. This is what we're looking for. This is where we want to get to. You understand? We have chosen to leave this life behind. We're seeking the kingdom of Yahweh. Now, I didn't give you the title of this, but it's baptism into life. Baptism into life. Now, because when you get baptized and receive Yahweh's Holy Spirit, you baptize in the name of Yahshua the Messiah, you're baptized into life. Now, a lot of times we'll say and we'll preach and let you know that it's his death that you've been baptized in. But it's just the opposite. You've been baptized into life because he is our everlasting life. He's the one that we can receive that eternal life through because we've made the choice. We've chosen him. And if you haven't chosen him, guess what? You're done already. Because you chose not the Holy One of Israel. Now, he says, but now, being made free from sin and having become servants to Yahweh, you have your fruits of sanctification and the end, eternal life. Sanctification is being set apart for a holy purpose. And each one of us are being set apart for that holy purpose. We're going to be kings and priests in the kingdom of Yahweh. Verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of Yahweh is eternal life in the Messiah, Yahshua, our Master. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. We'll start at verse 26. But an angel of Yahweh spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south to the way that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, down to the Arabah, that way. The same as desert. And he arose and went. Behold, a man of Ethiopia. This is an African. A great eunuch. A eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. Remember, Ethiopians, a lot of them were Jews, okay? Who was over all her treasure, who had come to Jerusalem to worship. See, he came from Ethiopia all the way to Jerusalem to worship. Now, and he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. So he could read Hebrew. You understand? Not only was he a black man, but he was a eunuch. And see, they weren't allowed to go in to the temple as a eunuch. They checked because they wanted to make sure you were circumcised. You had to court of the Gentiles, but to get into the court of Israel, the Israelites, you were checked. Because that's why Paul had Timothy circumcised. Not for the purpose of salvation, but for the purpose of being able to get into the temple. Because he was the son of a Greek and a Jewish. His mother was a Jew. Which means he could be a Jew. Right? But it was for a different purpose. Now, and the Spirit, in verse 29, said to Philip, go near and join yourself to his chariot. And Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. and said, "Do you understand what you read?" And he said, "How can I except someone to guide me?" And see, because of what he was reading, Isaiah 53, they wouldn't guide him anyway. You understand? They don't use that in the parsha. They don't want you to know about the Savior. And he supplicated Philip to come up and to sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearers is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. His generation, who shall declare? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip, and said, "I pray you, of whom speaks the prophet this? Of himself or of some other?" And Philip opened his mouth and, beginning from this scripture, preached to him Yahshua. And as they went on the way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, "Behold, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized?" He says, "I fulfill the requirements. I've sent my tithes in for more than 6 months in a row or whatever." Now, he didn't ask him all that, nor was he concerned about that. This man was faithful and righteous. He wanted the Holy Spirit. He wanted to be one of Yahweh's chosen. So he says, "Behold, here's water. What does hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Yahshua the Messiah is the son of Yahweh." And this is what we ask. Do you believe that Yahshua is the son of Yahweh? And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when Philip came up out of the water, the Spirit of Yahweh caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, for he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found in Azotus. And passing through, he preached the good tidings to all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Yahweh has a purpose for each one of us, brother. He wants us to do his will. But see, before I go over to that purpose, it says over in 1 John chapter 3, and we'll start in 3, verse 3. "Everyone that has this hope set upon him purifies himself. And we purify ourselves through baptism, even as he is pure." That's that act that you, that outward sign of the inward cleansing. "Everyone that commits sin also transgresses the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know this, that he was manifested to take away sin, and in him is no sin," speaking of Yahshua. "Whoever remains in him does not sin. Whoever sins has not seen him, neither knows him. Little children, let no man lead you astray. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that does sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. To this end was the Son of Yahweh manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." And this is what Yahshua does in our life. He destroys the work of the devil. He causes us to see the light, to choose him over this light. "Whoever is begotten of Yahweh does not practice sin." They won't go back to it and do the things they did in the past, because his seed remains in him, and he may not practice sin, because he is begotten of Yahweh. And this, the children of Yahweh are manifest, and the children of the devil. "Whoever does not righteousness is not of Yahweh, neither he that does not love his brother. And we truly have to come to the realization that if we say that we know Yahweh and we love Yahweh and we hate our brother, we're liars. And the truth is not in us. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain was of the evil one and killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. See, that song that I sang, I belong to you. We belong to Yahweh when we accept Yahshua the Messiah and receive that baptism, that gift of the Holy Spirit. See, we've all been captured by that love. And that's the love that we have for people we haven't known because they're Yahweh. We don't have to see them individually. We don't have to know them individually. Yahweh calls them. If they get baptized and accept that Holy Spirit and walk in truth, they are our brethren, regardless of where they come from. See, we don't have to know them from years back. We can meet them tomorrow, and they can become our brethren. Just like Philip met this eunuch. He didn't know this eunuch before that. You understand? The eunuch was on his way back to Ethiopia. He had went to the temple to worship. And I'm pretty sure he was rejected. Okay? Because he was reading Isaiah 53. And the rabbis wouldn't have it. They're not going to teach him that. They're not going to tell him what that means. In Matthew 28, verse 16, but the 11 disciples went into Galilee to the mountain where Yahshua had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. You understand? He was resurrected. And they saw him after he had died. He's resurrected. And some doubted. We can't doubt, brother. But we didn't walk with Yahshua when he was here on the earth. We believe because of the writings of those that did see him. And Yahshua, in verse 18, came to them and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given me to me in heaven and on earth. Go you therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Not some of them. He says, all of them. Immersing, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We don't believe in Trinity. Yahshua's name covers all of it, all three. Teaching them to observe all things, whatever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24 and 25. And Yahweh commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear Yahweh, our Elohim, for our good always. He's not going to give you a bird you can't handle. He's not going to put anything on your plate that you can't digest. That he might preserve us alive as at this day. And it shall be righteousness to us if we observe to do all this commandment. Before Yahweh our Elohim as he has commanded us. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Verse 1, it says, "And working together with him, we entreat also that you receive not the grace of Yahweh in vain. For he says that in acceptable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation did I help you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, giving no occasion of stumbling in anything, that our ministration be not blamed, but in everything commending ourselves as ministers of Yahweh in much patience, in affliction, in necessity, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watching, in fasting, in pureness and knowledge, in long-suffering and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, which comes with baptism and the laying on of hands, in love unpretended, unfeigned, in the word of truth, in the power of Yahweh, which is His Holy Spirit, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known." Because we are well known to Yahweh. He knows His sheep. The Yahshua is the great shepherd. He knows each and every one of our voices. As dying, and behold, we live. When you enter that water of baptism, you die. The old man no longer exists when you come back up out of that water. As chastened and not killed. So he corrects us. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. But he's given us a reason to rejoice. And when we come together, this is what we're supposed to do. Praise Yahweh. Poor, yet making many rich. And we're rich in our heavenly nature. As having nothing and yet possessing all things. Truly, Almighty Yahweh is looking for a special people to be received in the kingdom of Almighty Yahweh. And 1 Corinthians 11, the 1 Corinthians 11:25, it says, "In like manner also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the master's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever shall eat this bread or drink the cup of Yahshua in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and blood of Yahshua. But let a man prove himself, let him examine himself before he does this, and so let him eat the bread and drink the cup. For he that eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he's not right, if he discerns not the body. For this cause many among you are weak and sickly, and not a few sleep." In other words, they died because they weren't right. And Ananias and Sapphira, examples of that. But if we discern ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by Yahweh, that we may not be consumed with the world. For my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If any man is hungry, let him eat at home, that your coming together be not to judgment, and the rest will I set in order when I come. 1 Corinthians 15. Read this in its entirety when you get a chance later, especially from verse 1. But we want to look, we're going to start at verse 20. It says, but now has the Messiah been raised from the dead, the first fruits of them that are asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in the Messiah shall all be made alive, all that are his. But each in his own order, the Messiah, the first fruits, and then they that are the Messiah that is coming. Then comes the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom to Yahweh, even the Father, when he shall have abolished all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be abolished is death. For he put all things in subjection under his feet. But when he says all things are put in subjection, it is evident that he is accepted who did subject all things to him. And when all things have been subjected to him, then shall the Son himself also be subjected to him that did subject all things to him, that Yahweh may be all in all. Drop down to verse 50. Like I said, read the whole chapter. I want you to definitely read verses 35 on down to 49. But we're just going to read 50 to the end and close. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. And it can't. See? You have to have the Spirit. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We all shall not sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. They may have went into that grave corrupt. You understand? But if they had Yahweh's Holy Spirit, they're going to be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then the saying shall come to pass that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory, O death? Where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. And see, sin has been overcome by the Spirit of Yahweh. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to Elohim who gives us the victory through our sovereign Yahshua the Messiah. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable. See, if you're unmovable, nothing's going to move you. Not death or anything that comes along with it. You're going to keep moving to the kingdom. Always abounding in the work of Yahweh. Because that's what he wants. He wants us to have the victory over death. He wants us baptized into his life so that we can be with him in eternity. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in Yahweh. Almighty Yahweh has called the people for his purpose. And the reason that he gives us that opportunity to be baptized, to enter into his life so that we can live eternally with him in the kingdom of Yahweh, which is soon coming upon this earth. I hope each and every one of you understand the importance of baptism. And how important it is to continue in that walk before Yahweh. See, you can lose your faith. You can lose your salvation. Even though the world might tell you can't, you can lose it. The Bible tells us that. So once we receive that gift, we've been baptized into the life of Yahshua the Messiah and into his kingdom, which is soon coming upon this earth. We want to be ready. And we have to be examples to all the world. He told us to give them that witness, to go out and immerse them, baptize them in the name of Yahshua throughout all the world. Because Yahshua's coming soon, brethren. And Almighty Yahweh bless you as you continue to serve him. Would you open these rhymes at this time? Father Yahweh, we come before you as we seek to serve you and be diligent servants of yours, walking in your truth, Father, keeping your commandments, so that we would not lose that Holy Spirit which you've given us. We ask, Father, that you would bless each one, even those who are considering entering the water. We ask, Father, that you would touch their hearts, that you would cleanse them, and show them that it is your purpose in their life for them to be baptized, for them to walk in truth and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, because you will make it all right. You will cleanse them of whatever sins that they've had. We ask, Father, that you would be mightily upon your servant, and that you would touch each and every one of our hearts, because we truly do love you, and this is why we are here, keeping your commandments. We thank you for the great sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, and ask that you would continually be with this ministry. Give us the power we need to go forth to complete the Great Commission. And we ask all these favors and blessings in Yahshua's holy name we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.